The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew from the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Our Gospel this morning comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23, and can be found on page 1498 in your pew Bible. Matthew records, "When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said. 'Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' So he got up, and he took the child and his mother during the night, and they left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. 'A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more.' After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, and he said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead.' And so he got up, and he took the child and his mother, and he went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and he lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." You may be seated. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. As human beings, we have this tendency to downplay the brutality of this sinful world. We have this nostalgic tendency to romanticize things. From time to time, we may talk about the good old days, right? The good old days. And very often, a careful examination of the reality shows that the good old days, well, they were not actually that good. Now, yes, there are things in the past that we do miss. We remember those things, those good things. And then there are the things about the past that are absolutely horrible, horrific. And we tend to forget those things, or at least try. The past that we remember is only a partial memory, in truth. The full reality of the past teaches us that things were just as brutal in the past as they are today. A careful examination of the church calendar. We started the new church year this last month. If we look at the church calendar during the 12 days of Christmas, well, it's really a good antidote to the romantic nostalgia we might have about the early church. For example, our image of the first day of Christmas has this image of a pristine baby Jesus in this cute little manger, right? And it's a very European style of a stable. It's not really close to what Jesus would have been in his town at the time. We forget that Jesus made the same trip that many people have, the same trip down the birth canal that most babies make. We forget about all of the bodily fluids involved in childbirth, not to mention the pain and the hardship on both the mother and the child. And there was no epidural back in the day when Jesus was born. There was no blanket warmer. The birth of our Savior was just as messy and primitive as the birth of any other child in that period in history. And then there's the day after Christmas, December 26th. On our church calendar, that is St. Stephen's Day. I remind you that that's the commemoration of the stoning of Stephen. He's the first martyr of the young New Testament church. And we sing, "Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen," and it kind of sounds Christmassy, right? Well, it's the second day of Christmas, and it happens to be the day that we remember that people threw stones at Stephen until he died. Then there's the fourth day of Christmas, and it happens to be the day that we remember all the boys who died in Bethlehem. All the boys that died under the order of Herod the Great. It is the commemoration of the slaughter of the holy innocents. And then, of course, on January 1st in 2026, it'll be the eighth day of Christmas, and that is the day that we celebrate the circumcision of our Lord. And although this is not as violent of a commemoration as others that follow Christmas, there is still the shedding of blood. And according to the church calendar, the 12 days of Christmas are a very, very bloody time. Today's gospel that I just read is the account of Herod's horrible murder of the boys of Bethlehem. This event will forever brand Herod the Great as one of the more cruel people in all of the biblical account. We talk about Herod the Great every year at this time, and the Roman occupation, well, it had placed him on the throne in Jerusalem. Even though Herod the Great was not a Jew. And the Jews hated him for that. And his very natural paranoia that Herod the Great had, it served him well as he ruled over a nation that absolutely hated him. Ordinarily, Herod's paranoia would not have been a problem for a poverty-stricken couple like Mary and Joseph. He would have ignored them. But Herod was near the end of his life, and the dementia of old age had begun to take its toll. And we know that the dementia of old age has a tendency to amplify character traits. It seems that nice people get really sweet, and cranky people can get really cranky. And in Herod the Great's circumstances, paranoid dictators become psychopathic killers. Herod guarded his monarchy with ruthlessness. If he thought that you were after his throne, he ordered your death. Scripture recounts that he ordered the death of family members. Herod the Great ordered the death of family members, including wives and sons and faithful servants. Faithful servants and the like. If you got on his bad side, Herod the Great would take you out. His order to kill the baby boys in Bethlehem was not an isolated incident. It was part of what life was like in Israel under the reign of Herod the Great. And so when the Magi entered Jerusalem, imagine this. The Magi come into Jerusalem and they're inquiring about a newborn baby king. All of Jerusalem must have flipped out. What are you talking? Are you kidding me? The last thing anyone wanted was another claim on Herod's throne. They knew that Herod would get upset, and they knew that this question would likely trigger Herod's paranoia. And they knew that when Herod was upset, people died. The slaughter of the innocent boys of Bethlehem by Herod's order is one of the saddest events of all history. The truth is, though, if we're honest, we can't say much has changed since then. For example, how many times have we stared at our TV screen or our video screen in shock as another report tells us about another gunman who entered a school and killed helpless students and teachers? How many times do we hear about Islamic death squads decapitating their enemies? How often do we hear about another ISIS group wiping out towns and villages that proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? How often do we hear about the more than 3,000 babies that are killed by abortion, the abortion industry, in this country every day? Every day, over 50 million have been killed in the United States alone since the ruling of Roe v. Wade. The truth is, we don't really hear a whole lot about abortions anymore, unless it's from this pulpit or some other selected sources. We don't really hear about abortions anymore, do we? Could it be that our nostalgic tendency to romanticize things is in denial over the worst atrocity of our time? Could it be that we are all too ready to condemn Herod while we deny the atrocities of our own society? Every day, our country kills more than 150 times more babies as Herod did in Bethlehem, perhaps maybe 200 times as many. And if we condemn Herod, if we are honest, then we must condemn ourselves as well. In fact, we must say that we deserve 150 to 200 times more the condemnation that is ascribed to Herod for just one day's killing in the abortion mills of the United States alone. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, Matthew 7, 1 through 4. He said, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye?" With these words, Jesus teaches us that we are just as bad, that we are just as evil as the people that we condemn. Just as we are quick to condemn others, we are also quick to rationalize ourselves. Let me read that one more time. Just as quick as we are to condemn that other guy, we are also quick to rationalize our own actions. Yeah, well, at least I'm not like him. I had a reason. The fact of the matter, the truth that I'm telling you now, is that we are all little Herods when we come in to this world. We are born little Herods. We are selfish. We are survive at all costs little dictators. And in his psalm of repentance, David said this in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." David's words mean that at the instant of conception, each and every one of us already deserves to go to hell. That is what the sin that we inherit from our parents does for us. Furthermore, our sinful nature only makes our pile of sin higher and wider and deeper as time goes on. How fortunate it is that, well, for you and for me, that Joseph obeyed the angel in his dream, and that he took the Christ child and his mother to Egypt. Ultimately, Jesus retraced the trail of his ancestors in the time, long before, when we recall that there was another Joseph that brought his father, Israel, and the rest of his family to sanctuary in Egypt. And later, we read that after Herod the Great died, Jesus would follow the trail that his ancestors, the children of Israel, took back to the promised land. And eventually, Jesus would stand trial before Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great. Herod the Great, who tried to kill him in Bethlehem. And after that trial, Jesus finally did die. But he did not die in Bethlehem at the command of Herod. Instead, he died when he had finished his mission here on earth. He died after he had led a perfect life and after he had taken our sins to the cross. He died as God's sacrifice for our sins. He died at the time God established, and not at the time that Herod tried to establish. He died only after Jesus himself said, "It is finished." Jesus not only died according to God's timetable, but he also rose to it and ascended into heaven. His resurrection and ascension mean that all who have faith in him, men, women, children, even infants, will spend eternity in his presence. In spite of the pile of sin that you and I have produced, God is with us, Emmanuel. It means that when we died, God is with us. It means that God is with us for all eternity. Because of Jesus, our identity is not as a little Herod. Because of Jesus, our identity is in Christ. From an earthly point of view, Herod the Great appeared more powerful than Jesus. That's an earthly point of view. Herod was the absolute monarch of Judea with the authority of the Roman Empire to back him up. Jesus was this child of poverty. He had very few earthly resources. And even so, Herod could not touch him. God's plan overrules all other plans. God has a definite timetable for his son. No one can change that. God preserved his son from Herod, because the time was wrong. And on the other hand, God did not spare his son when the fullness of time had come. And hear this, a God who will do that will also graciously protect us, all of us. He will protect all of us from all evil, and he will preserve us in the one true faith unto life everlasting. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus, amen.